Would we not be fulfilling all righteousness? You know, I'm fulfilling one more thing. I think it becomes me to fulfill all righteousness as well. It certainly does. If Christ thought it was more righteous for him to be baptized than not, who am I to say I don't need it? Say, well, Paul, what about the thief on the cross? There were two thieves on the cross. One repented and one didn't. And one said, Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise. And the other one, he did not say anything good to. And people always use that as an example. And they say, well, Christ said that he would be with him in paradise. So what? He wasn't baptized. Well, one, we don't know that he wasn't baptized. But two, let's presume he wasn't. Well, he had no opportunity. God can forgive people on whatever basis he wants. So do you have to be baptized for God to have mercy on you? No, because God has mercy on us before we're baptized to bring our hearts to a place of repentance. Because not everyone's heart is prepared for repentance. If our hearts are hardened, then God has not stepped into our lives to change us, to make us ready for the gospel. So we are without him and we are stuck and we are in bad shape. So God comes to us first, always. God must be merciful to us first, always. That is the grace of God. The grace of God brings salvation, not my repentance. So it's the grace of God in the heart of that thief to turn him, to say those things. And it was the grace of God to forgive his sins and allow him to enter paradise without having to do anything else. But he did follow the Lord in his death. You know, he did have some works. I'll tell you that. He didn't say, you are saved, now get down off the cross. It was good enough. God deemed it good enough. But I'm not going to say to myself, well, I'm going to make that judgment myself and say I don't need to be baptized when I have opportunity to be baptized. So if you have opportunity to be baptized, you ought to be baptized, I say. If you want to say otherwise, like I said, if there was anyone who didn't need to be baptized, it was Jesus Christ. But as far as I can see, I never see anyone saying, oh, baptism is done away with. We don't need to be baptized. There are many references to baptism in the epistles of Paul and others, so it is well to be baptized. They say, is it necessary for salvation? Not absolutely, but I suppose if you have opportunity, it's surely you judge. Is it necessary for you to fulfill all righteousness? Well, I don't have to fulfill all righteousness. Well, then don't. And see where it gets you. We'll let you be the experiment. All right? Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So Jesus saw the Spirit of God descending and lighting on him like a dove. As Luke says, in bodily shape like it. It took a form and descended on him and he saw it. And the voice. Now, to some people, there's one of the main errors people make about Jesus is some people think, mistakenly, that Jesus Christ and the Father are one and the same. That there's no distinction between them at all. That the Father basically impersonates the Son. That the Son was the Father. He says, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. But you got to remember, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The Father is invisible. No man has seen the Father at any time. Except that you see the Son. That is the only thing you will see that is approximate to the Father. So Jesus is the Father to us, meaning to our eyes. But to him, the Father is other. From the perspective of Christ, what we see is Christ sees the Holy Spirit descending on him. Is the only person who saw this was Christ, as far as I know. It doesn't say the crowd saw it. It says he saw it. Right? So he sees the descending. Well, it also says that John saw it. The one upon whom you see the Spirit of God descending and resting, he is the one. So that's in another place. But even so, and maybe it was for the witness of John, but look at the voice from heaven and so on and so forth. Why is this being done? It is, if it was other than I'm saying, this is all confusing. Why is the Spirit descending in a shape like a dove? And why is a voice coming from heaven? Why doesn't the voice come out of his chest or something? You know, why is it coming from up there? To cause misunderstanding? God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. I tell you, people who think they know what God is and try to simplify God into forms that man can understand and try to take away from him the things that the way in which he reveals himself to us. Because God has revealed himself to us in the person of Father and Son and Spirit. you know. But this Father, though, I don't, you know, he's the invisible God. Though you can see the Spirit. The Spirit is also invisible, but it takes shape. So I'm not going to try to put God into some sort of box. You know, the Spirit of God is not always a dove. You know, or something, or like an, it's not an animal, per se. I mean, it talks about the seven spirits of God. There's a lot of mystery. God is much bigger than we are. You, there's no way you can sum up God in, you know, in 100 words or less. It's just vain to attempt. The Scriptures are sufficient, and let us take the information given in the Scriptures and form our opinion based on what we see, what we observe. We see this, okay? This leads me to believe in distinctions. Not to take anything away from the divinity of the Son. Of course, Jesus is God. Of course, he's the image of God. That he that has seen me, that has seen the Father. That is true. But apparently, he that hath heard me can hear the Father, but the Father can also speak from other places. And was the Son just doing this as a charade, as a sort of deception, as like a ventriloquist, throwing his voice? Let's not get into that sort of... God revealed himself with these distinctions, and it's acceptable to receive it that way. Everybody wants to nail God down, and I object. I really do. Let's just take it as it is, okay? We're not going to draw conclusions or make doctrines and try to make... You know, man always wants to make God describable in man's terms. And I'm of the opinion that... while to some degree we can discern him in our terms, to say to that at some point our terms fail, that we are not taking in his fullness. And a lot of times I think, especially when we go into area, when we start multiplying the words and using terms not contained in the Scriptures, we begin to take things for granted. And I don't like to do that.